Good morning, everybody. We got all the way to John 3:16 last week, so we'll start with John 3:16 this week. And why don't we read through verse 27? Responsive reading, I'll read the first verse, and then you try to stay together and read aloud the verse following, and we will rotate like that through verse 27. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they may all come out.
After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized.
And John also was baptized, and Peter appeared to say, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized.
For John was not yet cast into prison.
Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying.
And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him.
John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you for such an evangelistic book as John wrote and for his purpose. And Lord, we just ask you to bless us today. If anyone here is lost, we pray that they might be convicted and saved. And all of us that are saved, we might be drawn closer to you. And just bless the meetings as we are finishing them out today. And just bless everything and change some lives, change some attitudes. Get us closer to you and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Now give me freedom and ease to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God so loved the world. I was reading in Spurgeon. One time I had all of his sermons that were published, about 45 volumes, great big volumes, and I finally gave them to Mike Pemberton one time. I think he was just always wanting to borrow them, and he loved them, and so I gave them to him. And, of course, I read a lot, not only in there, but in some of his teachings. And, of course, he only made one commentary, and that was the Treasury of David, which is the Psalms. And it is so exhaustive that, man, if you have the Treasury of David, there's not much to go anywhere else to get. Because he used all of his preacher boys to search things out, you know, and find out who commented sometime on this verse in this psalm and whatever. And he was talking about preachers. And he said there was one young man that surrendered to preach. And he preached 160 something times, and his text every time was John 3:16. And then he died. But I just thought, I don't know how you could use the same text, but I guess with a verse like this verse is, it fits everything, all time. For God so loved the world. Wow. God doesn't hate you. God doesn't hate the world. God loves the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I've said this many times, I have two sons that wouldn't give either one of them for any of you. I don't have that. When Paul says, I could wish myself accursed for my Jew, I don't know how the man could make that statement, but I cannot wish myself to go to hell for anybody. Would you? That's a dedication beyond what I can bring up my mind to think about. So we got here with this tremendous verse, God so loved the world. And that is something that you ought to think about. He loves you. He not only loved the world, he loves you. He knows you. He doesn't have a problem. I'm getting a problem with not only my balance, but I'm getting a problem with remembering names. That's just old age. And God doesn't have that problem. I don't know how old. Don't know whether time even fits into his equations on his different things except for us. But he doesn't forget a single one of you. He remembers your prayers. The Bible says he puts your tears in a bottle. He knows when you hurt. And the Bible tells us he cares for you. You know, when you're burdened and you're crying, God cares for you. Now, that's something to say. 9 billion people on the face of the earth, maybe today. 9 billion alive and maybe 9 billion that have died since Adam. Wow. And God knows them all. And the Bible says, David is talking about it. He was formed, God formed him in his mother's womb. And you think of all of the possibilities of any birth, of all the different things that are around him, and God made you the way you are. Now sometimes we have a problem with that because we don't like the way we were made. we would rather be the pretty one, or you'd rather be the strong one, or the great athlete, or whatever. Hey, why don't you just trust a God that loved you? Why don't you trust that God can take you and carry you anywhere? For God so loved the world. Wow. He loved you so much, he gave his only begotten son. He came and took upon himself human flesh, went to the cross of Calvary after living a perfect, matchless life, and died to pay the payment for the law and to give you perfect righteousness. Wow. Do you ever get to thinking you're righteous? I don't. All I got to do is read the, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I don't think I've ever done that one day in my life. I don't think I could handle it for a day. I love my wife. I love my children. I love a church. I love people. I love some dogs. So I don't get all, God doesn't get all of my love, but we recognize you should be looking for more. You ought to be judging yourself and saying, I need to love him more. And if you loved him more, you probably wouldn't complain so much.
There you go.
And for Americans, for us to be complaining, we got air conditioning, central heat, drive automobiles that'll go 100 miles an hour, got all sorts of operations and glasses. Probably if they had the operations when my daddy was alive, he'd live longer, like the ones that I've had. Wow, God has done something awful good for you, and you ought to love him. Now, he said he sent not his son into the world, this is verse 17, to condemn the world. You know what a lot of people think about God? He hates you. They think he doesn't like you. They think he wants to condemn you. And that's not true. He's making a statement right here. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Why did he send him? So the world through him might be saved. Wow, what a thing. I was religious. I grew up religious. Went to church Sunday mornings. Whatever, made a confession of faith and so on before I ever got saved. And thinking about God condemning the world, or if I would really surrender to God, how I would miss all the fun in life. I'm like you, my brother. I've had more fun since I got saved. And I'm not doing anything that I was doing then. But I've had more fun being saved, being around a bunch of Christian people. That's been my life, 62 years. And I wouldn't know what to do. I would really be lost if I couldn't come to a church where I have some friends and loved ones, and they opened up this old book. Wow. That's a pleasure to me. I don't find it taxing to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or a two-week revival meeting. I preached a three-week revival meeting back in my day. And I was preaching four times a day. Okay, wimp. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. He sent Him to save you. And how could He make it any simpler? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What did He tell Abraham? He said, your belief, your faith in me is going to be counted for righteousness. Abraham is our father in the faith, really. It's the first time it's mentioned like that. And right now, you believe. You can't pay back. You can't pay back what you've done. You can't make up for what you've done. And be no way to get around to it. And God has just wiped it out. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Now, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a saint. I'm not going to heaven because I've lived such a good life, or I've even lived such a good life after I got saved. I'm going to heaven because Jesus paid my debt. And I believe it. And this is my confidence in the book that I have. These eyewitness testimonies of people who walked with Him day and night, 24 hours a day for 3 years. Wow. And you know what they did? They went to their graves, and some of them were horrible graves, still confessing, He rose from the grave, we saw Him, we felt Him, we know it. They couldn't make them change. Wow. That's a testimony. And that's my assurance. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn us, but through Him that He might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Well, here's some good news. You believe on Him, you're not condemned.
Thank you, Lord.
I can walk into any prison in the world and tell them if they'll believe in Christ, He'll forgive all their sin. Just name the criminal. Just name the sin. No, Jesus Christ paid it for him.
Amen.
For you. What a confidence that ought to give you. God did this for you. You can walk into His presence. I know some of you, you think, well, I ought to be standing in awe, and I ought to be real religious, and I ought to be humbled down, and I have my eyes lowered or whatever. I don't think that way. I didn't do that with my father. I had a very good father. And I could walk into his house at any time. I was welcome. I was welcome. And he told me, no matter where you go and what you trouble you get into, you can always come home.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Yeah, that's love. Well, here's God. And you know what he's going to do? I don't care what you've done. If you'll do what he said, if you'll just believe his testimony, you believe his love, believe the payment that Jesus Christ made, he'll save your soul, forgive you of all your sin, and walk you right up into the presence of God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. Now, look at verse 19. This is the condemnation. Well, okay. Where's your problem? Well, he's going to tell you right here. Light is come. Now, by light, it means truth. Light is come. The truth about Jesus Christ. The truth about sin. The truth about salvation. The truth about God taking the payment of Jesus Christ, and that's actually God himself took a body upon him and went upon the cross of Calvary and accomplished what no one else could have done. And not, you couldn't have done it. And you had no other way. Wow. This is the condemnation. Light's come. Even as a believer right now, today, some of you don't like light. Don't like light. You don't want to see what God thinks about what you're doing. You don't want anybody telling you anything. You know how a teenager gets, and they have to get this way. They have to want to live their own life and make their own decisions and whatever. And that's a real problem time for any family. I don't care how much discipline they've had or whatever. And boy, if you didn't discipline them before they were five, where they learned to respect you and obey you, you're not going to control them. It's 15 or 16, guaranteed for sure. A lot of people got a lot of troubles now. But light has come. But I don't want anybody telling me I'm doing something wrong. I sure don't want to sit down and hear a preacher get up and rant and rave and call me a sinner. And yet that's exactly where you are. That's exactly where you are. When I was getting saved the night, church service in the evening, auditorium about seat about 500, I'm sitting over there where Brother Mike is, and I'm right at the back of an auditorium seat of 500. When that preacher began to preach, I thought he must have been talking to my wife. I mean, he nailed me. I don't know if anybody else in the meeting got the same impression I got. I got an impression that God was pointing me out. And I went home that night, and I'm singing the old hymns. I was raised in church. I loved the hymns. And my wife, who was always a sleepyhead, anytime after 9 o'clock at night, but she got up at 4:30 every morning. But she said, "Lindell, if you're going to sing all night in the bed, why don't you go in the front room?" And I did. And all of that sin come up to me. And I began to think of things I did when I was a little boy, stealing something here, something there, fighting here, all sorts of things. Cussing, drinking, gambling, all sorts of problems. You know something? I got under conviction. I believed God was talking to me. And I went in there and I got down on my knees and I prayed for a couple hours. Now you don't have to pray for a couple hours. I just did. I was trying to think of all the sins to confess. I'm going back years. I'm going back, trying to confess. I was thinking I had to bring them all up, you know. I don't think you have to do that. But that's exactly what I did. But wow, what a load. Once I believed it, I thought, he says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I believed. And I knew I was saved. And I had a spirit inside of me. My body couldn't jump. It was just great. It was a load went off of me. I was floating on air, you know. I went and woke that poor preacher up. 7 o'clock in the morning, he was all tired. But I woke him up and said, I got saved last night and I surrendered to preach the gospel and I'm, you know, so on and so forth. Then I showed up to work. But you know something? Light's come. You know what the light'll do? It'll show you your blemishes. Some of you might want like a dull light in the bathroom. You don't want to look in the mirror real close and look at the blemishes there are that you've got. Wow, light has come. It shows sin. And if you aren't convicted of sin, you won't see your need of a Savior. When I became really convicted of sin, I said, I need a Savior. This message that I've been, was raised with is true.
Amen.
And I thought I'd given up all my fun. No, it's been an interesting ride. I tell you for sure, it's been an interesting ride. And the grand adventure just began. Wonderful. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness. You still love it. You saved? You've been saved a long time? You still love it. It's amazing how that flesh that's in us still has a draw on us. And the devil just has to come just a little bit. If he can get you complaining. You know, the Bible said the children of Israel in the wilderness, they murmured and complained. It displeased the Lord. I think with Christians having everything going for them as we have, for us to complain about anything about the Lord, that would be God would be disappointed. You're gonna hinder yourself if you can't do anything but complain. Why don't you try thanking God? You know that old song that we sing sometimes, count your many blessings, name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord hath done. Man, if we started counting our blessings, if you count heat and air conditioning and an automobile or ready-made clothes, somebody else made this, probably slave labor in China, but who knows? You are blessed. No people on the face of the earth have ever had what you had. Your life. I love the West. I love the history of Civil War to the Western expansion. And the cowboys and the wagon trains. And can you imagine? I'm going to sell everything I've got, buy me a great big Conestoga wagon and either oxen or mules or horses or whatever. And I'm going to walk 3 months, 6 months, every day, just to get me a little bit of land. You're not there. You're not there. You got air conditioning, you've got cars and automobiles, you've got all sorts of medicines, you've got retirement. You don't work so much we have to use exercise machines just to keep our body moving. And by the way, old folks, let me tell you something. If you don't exercise walking, you're not going to walk. They'll have you in a nursing home and trying to pay their way, and you'll be sitting there bored to death because you didn't walk a little bit. Why don't you get up and walk a little bit? And I'm talking to myself when I'm talking to you there. Look at verse 20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Have you experienced that hate? Oh, I have. I have knocked on doors and really been told off. I've knocked on doors, and I can see them in there, and they see me through the front window, and they will not open the door. I just stay there and knock. Have fun. I've got a sick sense of humor, I understand. Okay. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. They don't want anybody telling them anything. And you need to be told some things. Because let's face it, you're basically stupid. Really? Really? You're not so smart. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You have no clue. You may make decisions, but you know, you just don't have that much knowledge. Nobody else has that much knowledge either. All of us are living an adventure. What's going to happen tomorrow? Well, you better trust God. Anyway, it says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now look at verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, And he tarried with them and baptized. Did you ever hear somebody tell you that Jesus was a Baptist? Yeah, because he was baptized by John the Baptist. And that's what you need to be a Baptist, be baptized in a Baptist church. I'm sorry. It's funny to me. John was baptizing in Aenon near the Salem because there was much water there. Why did he need much water to baptize? He could have carried in a canteen enough to wet a little dolly and put it on everybody's head. Baptism is immersion. I was in Guatemala and I was looking for a place to baptize some of my new converts when I was down there as a missionary, and I had this mountain stream and it was flowing rich. I baptized this one lady and put her under, and the water just carried her out from me. Then I looked for a tank. And I found a tank, and we had about 10 or 15 to baptize or something. And we had about 30 people that went on out there. And I'm in this water about this deep, perfectly clear water, and there's a big snake about that long swimming around. I didn't mention it because they'd have screamed and ran out. I wouldn't have got anybody baptized. Life's a grand adventure if you can look at it right. Amen. He was baptizing. Jesus and his disciples came in Judea and he tarried with them and he baptized. Oh, wait a minute. I thought John was the Baptist. Well, he was. And so, verse 23, John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem because there was much water there. Didn't have any problem finding a place to baptize them. They came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast in prison. You know, so John was a bold preacher. My daddy always tried. My daddy was a moderate man. He had come to the place. I'm sure he was younger he was immoderate when he was younger. But he had come to the place that moderation was the answer to most problems. And he handled life really well. And it was a very great help to me. But he always thought I was too much of a fanatic. He did his best to try to get me to ease down so I would have a nice, comfortable pastorate somewhere. It just never worked. John was baptizing. Okay, we got Jesus baptizing. We got John baptizing, and he's this bold preacher. Why is it that when Jesus was preaching, some people compared him, was it John resurrected or Elijah? If Jesus was such a soft, quiet preacher, you couldn't have heard him on the lakeside. 5,000 men besides women and children? That's a crowd. You better have a voice like this evangelist has, or nobody's going to hear what you say. And by the way, the guys he's talking about are some of the toughest preachers in the Bible. I don't think Jesus was a real soft-spoken man. I believe he spoke to the crowds, 5,000 men besides women and children, and they heard him. He get down to the lake. Have you ever been on a lake? You ever been down to the coast? I've loved the water most of my life. He gets in a boat, and he pulls out, and he preaches to the people in the mountain here. He couldn't do it talking this low.
That's right.
Peter wouldn't have heard him then, much less anybody that's up on the hill up there. He had to be a man with a voice. He's a man and a man's man. He's not a sissy.
That's right.
Really not. Well, they're both baptizing. John is Jesus is. And then look at verse 25. There arose a question. You know what? Life is really interesting in the church because there are always questions.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really don't like, no matter what decision I make, it hurts somebody. You ever been there?
Yep.
Some of you, you really love to be able to criticize what the elders have done, but you wouldn't want to be the one to make the decision and then have to sweat it out at night. Lots of times we don't know. We do the best we can. And we're human beings. We're just about as dumb as you are. All of us, we're just pretty slow. You know, wisdom is a wonderful thing. But there's not a lot of people have it. Solomon was an unusual man. Man, the wisdom that he had. I want the wisdom of Solomon. Boy. There arose a question. Do you need to be baptized by Jesus if you've been baptized by John? Which one of them is the effective baptism? Are both of them effective baptism? You know, that question is still being asked around here. Go try to join Georgetown Church somewhere. One of the things they're going to do, many of them are going to do, is they're going to check on your baptism. Like the preacher told me, I said, what am I supposed to do? He said, you need to confess the Lord before the church, be baptized, and tithe. I said, what is a tithe? He said, 10% of your income. I didn't even have a checking book account. I just dropped a $20 bill in the plate. Nobody knew I put it in there or whatever. That's what I did. I was obeying him. And then I said, you know, but I've been baptized twice. I was sprinkled as a little Methodist boy, about 11. And then when I married my wife, she was a better Christian than me, and I knew so. Well, I'd go to her church. It was a Baptist church. So I went down to the preacher and confessed that I accepted Christ as my Savior, and they immersed me. He said, baptism comes after salvation, not before. Did you just get saved? I said, yes, you need to be baptized. So there's always a question about baptism. Sprinkling, pouring, immersion, whatever. There's all sorts of questions about it. Why don't you try the Bible? If you look at the Bible, you'll find out baptism is immersion. You need much water to baptize. You don't need a cup full. I could take a canteen and baptize all of you if I'm sprinkling. You don't need much water, do you? But you needed much water for John to baptize. Okay, there rose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Now, you've got all of these Jews, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and many different ideas. They actually had other factions, smaller factions. But you know what? They were in fight all the time. They were in fight about doctrine. They were in fight about, well, what's this? They were in fight about whether or not you lived life after death. Okay, here they are. They're getting into baptism. Is it John's baptism the right one? Is it Jesus' the right one? Is Jesus a better baptizer than John is? If you were baptized by John, did you have to be baptized again by Jesus? All sorts of questions they could come up about purifying. What, you know something? Baptism really doesn't purify. You ever thought about that? It might even be dirty water. In a lot of places I baptized, it was dirty water. I remember we had a revival meeting up in West Texas, and they didn't have anything but a cattle tank to baptize. We had 9 people saved in this little Baptist church, and a wonderful time. And a couple of them were large ladies, larger than me. They weighed some count. I got into that. And my feet went down into the mud up to my knees. I mean, it was just a cattle tank. You know? 50 feet, maybe. It wasn't as big as this auditorium. But I can't hardly move. And I baptized this lady, and I like to never got her up. Her feet are stuck in the mud. My feet are stuck in the mud. I can't step back as I put her in. I got to put her in and start pulling this way. Poor lady, bless her heart. Poor preacher, bless his heart. Oh, I tell you, Fun and games. It's been a grand adventure. You just don't know all the things I've went through. There's a question about purifying. Well, you travel all over the churches of just San Antonio and talk to different people about purifying. There's a lot of different ideas out there. Well, no, what does the Bible say? Well, I believe the Bible says that you just be baptized, and it's a show that you've accepted Christ as your Savior and a picture of your death, burial, and resurrection. And by the way, I think it's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that's Jesus. Well, okay, you can have fun with that. Look at verse 26. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men go to him. Does it really upset you that people go to another church than where you go? Or that people you led to the Lord don't follow your teaching? I'm thinking a whole lot of us get pretty upset that way. I've been that way sometimes. And yet, if they follow the Lord, doesn't matter whether they follow me. And you are so individual. You got your own thoughts. You got your own likes and dislikes. You got your own knowledge. As you were saying, we're not all the same. You have a knowledge of the word. It may be better than mine, and it may be worse than mine. But you got to go with the light that you have. I came to the place, after I was a preacher for a while, I came to the place that I said, I have got my standard. And that's the King James Bible. Prove me wrong from the pages of this King James Bible, I'll change. But don't change any words. Don't even make singular, plural, or anything else like that. Don't change the words. And then you can correct my doctrine. And if this book tells me, this is my authority. I don't have any other authority. The Greek's not my authority. You don't realize what you're doing. I actually went to college, you know. I had preacher college. I actually went to the seminary. How about that? That's where they bury preachers. You know something? All that Greek means nothing. You just don't realize it's just portions and portions and portions and portions. Thousands. Somebody says, go back to the original. There is no original. All the original is gone. All you got is copies of copies of copies of copies by monks. It was till 1500 we had a printing press. Doesn't mean a thing. Well, the Greek says, who cares? The guys that made this were absolute scholars. Knew what they were doing. And they refused a whole lot of manuscripts that now then in the modern versions they're bringing back in. Somebody tells you that something in your King James is not in the original, he's a liar because he never saw an original. So, I've got an authority. You may not have that authority, but that's my authority, and I've been living with it for an awful long time, and I have found it very satisfying. Amen. Okay. He said, all men go to him. Don't be jealous of some preacher because he's more popular than what you are. Amen. Who cares?
Right.
Who are you serving? Yourself? Or are you serving the Lord?
Amen.
And if he's serving the Lord, praise God, bless him, and help him to have good success. Just go out and win a few more. Knock on a few more doors, although they're getting a whole lot harder to get into than they were in most of my life. All men come to him. Well, now John's got a pretty good answer for that. John said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Oh, wait a minute. It's not so much you. It might be what gift God gave you. It might be His will for you for this time. What do you get from heaven? Boy, you get a lot of talent. You get a lot of skill. You get some emotions. You get some leadership from the Holy Spirit of God. You get a message out of the Word of God. Wow. Man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. You remember when John was baptizing? And the Pharisees and Sadducees all coming out to him. He's the revival. People are going out to him. They're going out wherever they're going and they want to hear this man. He had a tremendous ministry for a period of time. He says, I can't get anything unless God give it to me. Verse 27, man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. He said, what difference does it make? Nothing but your pride. And preachers are proud. Churches are proud. And, you know, God hates pride. You ever think about that? God hates your pride. Verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness. I said, I'm not the Christ, but I'm sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. It's like we're going to a wedding, and I'm the best man behind the groom. Well, the groom's the best man, really. He's the one that's getting the wife. And I'm rejoicing because I love him. He's a friend of mine. I think it's great he's got him a wife. That's what he's saying here. I'm just the friend of the bridegroom, Christ. Christ is drawing him out a church that's going to be a bride. And I rejoice greatly as the people come and follow him. Isn't that beautiful? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now look at verse 30. It's a tremendous verse. He must increase. Amen. And I must decrease. You ought to think on that a little bit. That is a tremendous thought. Is Jesus increasing in your life? Are you decreasing in your life? Does Jesus have more power now than he had a year or two ago? Do you have less confidence in yourself, more trust in Christ than a year ago? He must increase, but I must decrease. That is a tremendous statement from a preacher. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. And he's going to say that again. He that is of the earth is earthly. What are you? Earthly. He's making a difference. Jesus is from heaven. You're from the earth. Who are you to question Jesus? He that is of the earth speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Now, wait a minute. He says it first. He is above all. You don't recognize that on a regular basis.
That's right.
Yeah. You're above all. Your will is above all. Your prejudices are above all. Your thoughts are above all. No, it's Jesus is above all. Jesus above all. It would change your life to get that little verse down. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly. Know that you're earthly, and speaketh of the earth, and that's what you do. But Jesus, he that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he has said, what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that receiveth his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. You sure about that? Can you put a stamp on it? Can you credit that? This is where I believe. This is where I stand. He is above all. For whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things, there it is again, into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He is above all. God bless you.